פרק שני. לא רק חשיבוס, אלא גם גדלוס יש לכל אדם. Last week we spoke about the חשיבוס of every single Jew. Tonight we'll talk a little bit about what it means to be a gadol. Terminologies that are thrown around today that have come to mean nothing in the world of Alei Shor mean a tremendous amount. Nisbenu b'zeh, my gadlus. So let's think about what does this actually mean? Say that somebody is godless to them. Es godlecha, zumidus tuvecha, chenuem ve'at eignon lakar Hashem. Midas chasta yisbarach, shayfes b'li ma'atzer, mechaynena sadikim urishom, b'ma'nas chinam. Zuhi godlai, haray hashpa b'li ikav, u'ma'atzer hi godless. So it comes out, Rav Obi is telling us that godless is when something is total hashpa with no stop. That's what it means when we talk about the midah of chesed, yeah, the toiv of the Rebbeinu Shalom, is that we talk about the midah of chesed, not in the realm of teferes, but chesed by itself is shefa that just flows. It flows with no end in sight, with nothing that could possibly stop it. The whole nature is just giving and giving and giving. Shir mizmor levnei karech, gadol Hashem mula ma'id, be'er lekeinu har kodshoi, ve'lekeinu eina gadol, ela be'ir levad. Doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only a gadol in the ear. Ela amru b'nei karach gadol Hashem v'ma sha'asa b'iru b'mikdashoy. V'cheinu eimer Hashem b'tzion gadol v'ramu al kol ha'amim. Leimer b'iru asa kein ba'amim le'kol shekin. V'cheinu eimer ki hinei b'ir asher nikra shemi aleha anaychi mochi l'horo v'atem hinaka tinaku ha'i b'ir alekein. So gadol Hashem v'ma sha'asa b'iru b'mikdashoy. What does this mean? Asher lo Allah al das hadora hu ki tachin v'Hashem yachrev heichalei. V'hu yisbarach silek shchinasoi le'otzer ba'adai ahavos li'Yisrael v'le'gvu rachamav imaylamo Hashem imu oinu b'ilokech mimenu beis tefartoi hari yis alus me'al ahavos li'yisbarach v'amituso b'li'ikuv ma'atzer gam hi gadlus. So it comes out, then we talk about the gadlus of Hashem. In that door, they didn't think that it was possible. Ki tochin Hashem yachrev heichalei. Is it possible for the Rebbeinu Shalom, with all of the Rebbeinu Shalom's chesed, with all of the Rebbeinu Shalom's unstoppable love for us, is it possible for him to be machrev the heichal? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masalik the Shechina. So it doesn't mean that the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't love us. No. Adrabba, we know that the Rebbeinu Shalom did this for us. He did this for us. It was going to be either he was going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash or he was going to destroy us. So it's not the pshat that there was an ikuv in his rachamim. V'lo ikvu rachamav im ha'ilamo Hashem ma'onu me'iklachim enu beis tefarto. But the hisalus me'ala ha'vaso yisbarach. V'amituso b'li ikuv ma'atzer gam hi gadlus. Mizan ulomdim ki gadlus nikra hisalus v'hashba b'li ikuv u'minius. So from here we see in a very clear way what gadlus means. Gadlus means total giving. It's alus milamata lamala, hashpa milamala lamata. So it comes out, like everything in Yiddishkeit, it comes out that there's two directions. There's that which comes from above to below, and there's that which comes, yeah, that's the hashpa from above to below, and there's the hisalus, the elevation of that which is from down below to up above. V'hine lamadnu, b'marechas das asmenu, ki kol adam nachem b'mida achas mushlemes. We know already from our previous work that everybody has one midah, one good midah, and that in that midah there is tzaddik mamish. Again, I was just talking to a boy today, and he has so many nekudas tovus, so many beautiful midas, but he has his midas that he's working on, but he can't see it. So I said to him, by you, it could be that just to say Tehillim, just to sit and say Tehillim, it could be that that's your Pesach into the mansion. But he couldn't hear it because he's looking around the Beis Medrash and he wants to be finishing Masechtas like that guy, and he wants to be, you know, learning before davening like that guy, and he wants to. And it happens to be this kid is the most precious, beautiful, sweet, gentle, edel person you could ever meet. And to see this boy sit and say Tehillim is like watching David HaMelech say Tehillim. It's like unbelievable. And he's just so... he's so focused on all the things that he doesn't have. I was trying just to help him. I don't know if I was matzliach. I was trying just to help him refocus a little bit. Just to look at his one midah that's mamish makes him into a tzaddik. And he was having so much trouble accessing that tzaddik. It's a very hard thing. Ketzad anu makira mida zu. So how do we recognize in which mida we're a tzaddik? Kishanu mavchinen b'mida toiva achas, she'afilu b'toch kashan v'yikuvim yipayeles es pu'ulasa, as matzanu es amida m'shlabesh abanu v'esai gadlus asher ha'abayres barach henek lanu. Now we can understand gadlus even a little bit better. When you have that one mida that it's always with you, no matter what, that you never become a kaisan, that you're always a bal chesed, that you're always looking out for another person, that no matter what, you don't miss that seder, no matter what, you don't miss a minion, whatever that mida is, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, that's how you know what your mida is. That's godless that the Beis Baruch put inside of us. It's unstoppable. It has no, it's never going to stop. V'rosanu etzel yeled, shu tomed emir emes, v'afilu biyado ki anshiu ki is like a little child, for example, who's always telling the truth, even if it's going to get him punished, which is, by the way, a beautiful midah. So when we see children and they have to lie, and often, without even realizing, we corner our children into lying. You know, because you don't want to tell the kid he's not going to get punished, because that's not good. Sometimes the child needs a punishment. On the other hand, you've taught the children to lie. So allowing the child to feel safe, that balance is very, very difficult. But a child who has that chen, to be able to say the emes, even when he's about to be punished, you know that that child's emes is going to take him to his ultimate fruition. You don't have to try to make that kid into something he's not. You don't have to. It's not about turning that kid into the biggest lamdan in the world. The emes, that's going to be his portal. Work on the emes. You'll see. It'll be nespash it over into everything that we do. If you see somebody who gets a tremendous amount of pleasure to be made unto others, to give to others, and even if things are very, very difficult, he's running around to do chesed. I think somebody told me that there's a woman in Har Nof. I think they call her like Chesed Chani or something. You ever hear this woman? It's a woman in Har Nof. Somebody just told me about. She's been in Har Nof mamish since the beginning of Har Nof. Yeah, whatever that means, and she's no, it's Chesed Chani, and she's literally just her whole essence is Chesed. They call her Chesed Chani. If I'm not mistaken, I think she's an elderly woman already. She's a Chesed Chani. That's who she is. Doesn't matter what else is going on in her life. She's a tremendous balas Chesed. She's a gadol in Chesed. So it's so funny today. Everybody's trying to make their children into gedolim. If they would only know that the child is already a gadol. Every child has one midah in which he's a gadol. So you don't have to put the picture on the wall and tell the child, you have to be like Rav Aaron Leib, you have to be like Rav Chaim Kanievsky. You don't have to do that. Adi Rabba, find the gadlus that's in your child that already exists in your child. And then Mamela, you're raising a gadol. Because there was never a system in Klal Yisrael before where every single person was meant to be a gadol. There wasn't. It's not even... It doesn't even make any sense. The Tanya was written as a sefer for Beinonim. It wasn't written as a sefer for the Tzaddikim, even though it's true that the Beinoni of the Tanya is the Tzaddik of everybody else. And as I'm learning Tanya and I'm sitting there looking at the Rosh of a Tevle, I'm like, yeah, that pretty accurately describes me, you know. But okay, but say there was never a time in Klal Yisrael's history where let's see if everybody could be a gadol in learning, because it was muvan, it was understood that there was such a thing as being a gadol in who you were. Because in that one area, it's just total flowing. Total flowing. It's not even something you need to work on. It's a gift. So the best portal into the mansion, Rav Olbi's teaching us, the best portal is through your own godless. Talmud Chacham ha-loimed ha-Torah mitoichat chak. A Talmud Chacham that learns Torah even when it's very, very difficult. Like they say about the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was fleeing from the Nazis, coming to Eretz Yisrael. There were certain pieces in Chidush HaGriz that were written while he was like hiding in a barn. It's like, sometimes I'm learning these pieces in Beis Medrash, you know, with a nice cold drink, you know, and you're like, everything is nice, relaxing, you have a chavrusa. So you picture, you imagine yourself, you know, Rav Chaim Lamashal, Rav Chaim Brisker, when the town burnt down. It's well known that he didn't sleep in a bed. He slept in the shul with everybody else. What are you sleeping for? Your house wasn't burned down. He said, how could I possibly sleep at home when everybody else is doing this? And in those years, he was putting out Chidush HaGrach. By him, it wasn't a stira. And so many maisim like this. Yeah, he's sitting in a cave. You know, it's like, yeah.
Buried up his neck.
Yeah, But by them, Torah was as natural as breathing. My Rebbe once said that to me about somebody. He said, by him, Torah is like natural. Like he's not trying. It's just like breathing. You see, he's breathing. There's such a thing. They say Rav Aaron Cutler was such a being. That Rav Aaron Cutler, it wasn't hard for him to learn. They say Maisa with Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner was talking about learning mitechat chak and having to break your teeth over something. They say Rav Aaron just started crying. And Rav Huttner didn't know what he did. He said, Rebbe, what did I do? He said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Very few people understood what Rav Aaron was talking about when he gave shir. See, not because he wasn't clear, but because it was like just a tidal wave of information and lumdus. Even I've tried to learn pieces of Mishnah Sefer Aaron. I mean, it's like just to get through 3-4 paragraphs is like a very, very difficult thing. No asag of who these people were, we can't understand. To learn Torah mitechat chak, chalash ayabu hanesayin esayna masik yirsaso. Who are Gadol B'Torah? So what does it mean to be a Gadol B'Torah? A Gadol B'Torah, it's interesting, I was just having this conversation with somebody today. What's a Gadol B'Torah? It's somebody who no matter what, his Torah never stops. It's an awesome thing to aspire to. It's an awesome thing to aspire to, that we should all have Torah like that. It doesn't mean that we're going to achieve that. Mistama, most people in very difficult situations, they might have to stop for a little bit. There are people that don't. There are people that have it naturally implanted in them, like Pasuk Pumim Megirsa. Their mouth just never stops learning Torah. So when one of my rebbeim was sick with Yanamachla, I think the entire time, through all the radiation treatments, he missed one shir. He would come in from radiation treatments, he would come into yeshiva to give shir. Imagine such a thing. He once rolled up his pant leg to show me that they, with markers, made on his leg like a graph of where they should zap him, and he could barely walk from the radiation, and he would hobble into shir and give shir. And it was always like, which Talmud had the guts to sleep in through that Rebbe's shir? Like which Talmud was like, I'm not feeling well. And today in yeshivas, you know, if you have a sniffle, you're not feeling well. Like in the world, if you would ever be that sick and you would take off, you'd be like, but in yeshivas, this is the way it is. Sometimes they get tired, you know. But like the Rebbe just came in from radiation treatment. You have the sniffles, you know, it's like, okay, but they, like Pasuk Pumim Bikr, so that's called Galus B'Tayr. V'ulam B'Ikr B'Taych Limerat Tayr Atzmo Yeshna B'China Shal Galus B'Yadela Tayr Koshios Chamburus ובנך סוגי סמוקוס, אשר בכוח שכלו חזק, הוא יודע לסעלוס מעל הקושיוס, ולמצא ביר נכון, זוי סיגלוס. There are some people, even within godless Batar, there are some people that never stop learning, there are some people that have godless on another level, they have godless in depth. That no matter what difficult kashas come their way, no matter how deep the sugya is, their seichel is so strong that they know how to live above the kasha. They know how to get to the depths of the sugya and clarify the sugya and explain it in such a way that all the pieces come together. That's what it was like for me in Shir. When I was learning Baruch Parnas, you'd sit in Seder for 3.5-4 hours, and the sugya would be so deep and so complex, and you didn't know which way to turn. And then after 1.5 hours Shir, it would be like the entire thing was crystal clear. This is the kasha, this is the teretz, this was the havamina, this was maskana, this is the hezber machlekes, this is the mechanics of the sugya. It was watching a masterpiece every time. It was literally like watching an artist every single day paint a Mona Lisa. It was an incredible thing to watch. That's also called godless and Torah. And it happens to be my Rebbe, it was a tremendous masma too. Zecharim lanu bezed divrei atosis ksuvus gimel aleph alf the derech ubahelich lamid Torah shenasa adam gadol. Simply learning Torah is a very elevating experience. The truth of the matter is that the path to being a Talmud Chacham is fraught with terribly, terribly difficult challenges. For some people, it's just sitting in Beis Medrash. For some people, the Yitzhahara is mamish attacking them. Do you really want this? Do you want to become this? I had a bachar today. He is without a doubt the bachar that has made the most strides this year. He's returning for a second year, and he says to me today, because I'm really scared. I said, what are you scared about? He goes, how far is this going to take me? He's already very different than he was in high school. In high school, the truth is he was doing some really foolish things. Yeah, but today he's a very different person. He's a much more adult, mature, you know, focused, meaningful person. But he's sitting there, he's saying, where is this going to take me? It could be a frightening thing. You know, you have to reassure a person, don't worry, this is also a good life. You know, you're not losing out. Adarabba, you'll gain tremendously. But it's very, very frightening. But not just that. The truth of the matter is that when a person sits to learn, sometimes the nisyanos that come, even from the outside, are very, very difficult. All of a sudden, in a person's life, things could start not to go so well. And it's the ability to negotiate those things and to continue to learn. That makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. You know, it's like, I remember Rav Isaacson said to me recently, he said, I think he said he's missed under 3 days of teaching yeshiva. Not for, he had to fly to America, but because of illness, and even because of smachot, I think he's missed maybe 3 days of yeshiva in like the last decade or something like that. Despite all, it's not the pshat that nobody has challenges. We have challenges, but the ability to maintain the course, there's a lot of strength in that. There's a lot of elevation in that. Kol ha, and befrat with limud ha-Torah. The truth is, it's with everything, but befrat with limud ha-Torah. But when a person has a goal in Torah, that's why there's so much chashivas to daf yomi. No matter what, come what may, at the end of the day, I had to do that daf. You talk to anybody who's fallen apart in daf yomi, what happens? It's the one day that they missed, and then the next day they have to do two. I couldn't get to the second one, and now I've fallen behind. And the ability to maintain and to persevere, if you can, it really elevates a person. It really elevates a person. And then to set goals, to learn be'iyun, and we all know we're all Baruch Hashem still young people with young families. It's not so easy. Children, and children get sick, and children need you, and wives need you, yeah. And responsibilities, community responsibilities. It's not always so easy. It's not always so easy. But the ability to maintain focus on the goal, that's a very growth-oriented experience. Kol ha'avayda ha'pratiyah shanachnu b'biyarnu ato b'biyura ato avayda gedola hila l'kei Yisrael ki kula halicho mitikun l'tikun m'madrega l'madrega on the negoshim b'ezes Hashem l'bir tikun arba ha'yasaydis kvar nisbar lana b'marach ha'kademus ki kol echad mehem l'mala m'mashenu achal m'soyd ha'ofar v'ad soyd ha'esh Aliyah migasas ledakus minitia gufnias minitia ruchnias vimlchar and nira hatzad harishon kosher biyoser hisala me'al leofer bevadik kechol asher hadvarim dakim yoser him darshim es gabris yisera bezus Hashem. So the whole avoda protest. Now we're going to get into we're going to get into a very serious thing. We're going to talk about the tikkun of the arba yesodos, and the person has to know that we're going from rectification to rectification, from madrega to madrega. And adarabba, the more dak that it gets, the more sophisticated and subtle the issue is, the more godless it's going to, the more hisgabrus, I'm sorry, it's going to require, the more strength to overcome it's going to require. Could even be that in the beginning, like many things, it could be in the beginning that you'll see a tremendous amount of movement right away. And then what happens is that you start to get into the areas of really tying up the loose ends, and that already is a very different experience. It's like most people go 90% of the way, but they don't do the last 10%. They don't do the last 10%. Because the last 10% really requires a tremendous amount of focus. It requires a tremendous amount of scabrous. I saw a very beautiful vort that somebody was saying, that they said a three-year-old always gets what they want. Because when a three-year-old wants something, it wants it with his whole self. So when a three-year-old cries, he mamish cries. And when we cry a little bit. So there's something just about going to 100%, to have this total focus, this total desire. Okay, I think let's get started. Perek Shlishi. Soid ha'afar hu ha'kvedas. Ha'mafriya la'adam lehizgaber al-guf niyusod v'ichnasu l'ruchnias. This is something that everybody has. It's something called a certain heaviness that prevents a person from being misgaber on his gufnias. He's trying. It's not the pshat that he's not trying. This person is trying tremendously. They're trying tremendously. They just want to move forward in their ruchnias. They're so tired of where they are, being weighted down, but they're having trouble creating motion. They're having trouble creating motion. L'mashal Abachar gets depressed. He stops being in motion. So what do we always say? Motion creates motion. Rest breeds rust. Yeah? If you stop, you're going to rust. Yeah, but motion creates motion. But here you have a person that they want. They want. It's not the pshat they don't want. They want, but they don't. They don't know how to be mitkadeim. And even if somehow they can be mitkadeim for 5 minutes, they're already falling apart. But yeah, well, we know people like this. Maybe even the truth is we all have a little bit of some of this. All of or you said this, we're going to have a little bit of some. But I think everybody has had this, where they've tried to start something, they get excited about it, but I can't take that. Even to take the first step, it could be difficult. Matsinu hagdara mufla la'atzlus b'nedarim la'mevavim na'alav ha'emer hareini shoychit es ha'pesach ha'misha alav rishon l'yishalayim kivan shechnes rishon roshe v'ruba zocha b'chelko. Tanya nami hachi ma'isa haya v'kodmu b'nois l'banim v'nimso b'nois z'rizos u'banim shveilim. Nirmizeh, this is a diak, unbelievable diak of Revolbi. Ki ahepech shalazrizus hi shiflus. What's the opposite of being a zariz, of having alacrity? The opposite is not being slow. It's feeling low. In other words, there's a feeling of shiflus, and this is really what the Alter of Slabodka's whole yesoid in life was, and really the basis of all of Hasidus, and really today pretty much all of Jewish thought, is the reason you have trouble moving yourself is because you don't have a self to move. If you're not in self, I should be a zariz. I'm not important, bechlal. I'm not important, I'm not worthy. If you would only know all of my affairs. The whole Torah of Rabbi Nachman was to answer that kasha. The whole Torah of Rabbi Nachman, which by the way, nobody understood back then. When Rabbi Nachman was writing, when it was coming out, when Rabbi Nachman was coming out with the things from Rabbi Nachman, nobody had a clue what Rabbi Nachman was talking about. They didn't know. His door was like, who has problems with the things that you're writing about? They didn't know what he was talking about. Rabbi Nachman said about himself, he said, this is not going to be understood for generations. In the time of Mashiach, people understand what I'm talking about. And today, so many people are returning to learn the Kutei Alach, the Kutei Esa, the Kutei Maharan. Today, to quote Rabbi Nachman, except for certain people that have made it like a thing that people shouldn't do. But again, in the real world of Rabbi Nachman, it's like you open it up. It's an illuminating sefer because the whole world today feels like shiftless. The whole world, everybody's walking around depressed. We're crippled in terms of having a healthy ego. So you want me to act with zrizus? I should be excited to do something, and even though I know that thing is the most important thing in the world, but who am I to do that thing? I mean, who are you to do that thing? Who are you not to do that thing? It's the craziest thing. If the Rebbeinu Shalom gave you a talent, what did he give you that talent for? So of course, what did Rebbeinu Shalom give you that talent for? It's because in this moment he needs you to play that role. But if I don't know that about myself, how could I possibly play that role? So people just, they want to know that they're important. That's why today the job of a Rebbe is much more complex than it ever was. It used to be the job of a Rebbe was to impart wisdom. Today the job of a Rebbe is to put his arm on his Talmidim's shoulder and say, Tzaddik, you have tremendous capabilities and you are worthy. That's today 90% of a Rebbe's job. 10% is after they feel like a something, we can get them to learn a little bit. Hopefully we'll get them to the point where they can feel like a something enough that learning will become a part of their life for the rest of their life. But the Rebbe who sits back and gives this unbelievable shir without making Talmidim feel like they're meaningful, it's not going to work. Unless the Rebbe's way of telling the Talmidim that they're meaningful is by setting a high bar in learning. Sometimes that happens. If you have a group of Talmidim that are fully capable of learning, and you set a high bar in the shir in learning, that's also a communication that you're worthwhile. Adarabba, sometimes today we dumb down the information so much for our Talmidim that the message is, you guys are really dumb. So it's like, you know, how many times can they hear the same thing over and over again? Teach them something meaningful. If you teach it to them in such a way that you have expectations of them, Adarabba, you're really communicating to them, you guys are meaningful. That's why our children crave rules. Children need boundaries and borders. It's what the trellis is what makes the tree grow straight. If you let them do whatever they want, you know what you're communicating to them? I can't control you. Nobody can control you. And honestly, why would we bother controlling you? You're beyond control. That's a crazy thing to tell a child. And don't just think that people do it at 5. And don't just think that people do it at 10. I know yeshivas that are doing it at 18, 19, and 20 years old. Cute. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? You know how much a Talmud appreciates, and again, it's a very hard role to play. You know how much a Talmud appreciates at the end of the year, the patch that you gave him at the beginning of the year? I have a Talmud who was by us a couple years ago. And he did a foolish thing, and he needed a patch. It was in the beginning of the year. So I gave him a patch. He didn't recover for 3 months from that patch. And I want you to know, I did not give him a hard patch. 3 months, he could not recover. Finally, I put my arm around him one day. I said, we're going to Hello Teman. We have to talk. I don't know what's going on. We have to talk. Today, the guy is a Mitsuyon Shebe Mitsuyonim. He's a Mitsuyon Shebe Mitsuyonim. And I don't know if he'll listen to this tape. Yeah? And even if he does, he's a Mitsuyon Shebe Mitsuyonim. And I'm telling you, without that patch, he would not be a Mitsuyon that he is today. Adarabba, sometimes when you give a kid a patch, you're telling him, this behavior is beneath you. They say that about Rav Freifeld. They say that Rav Freifeld, when he gave a person Musar, he gave them Musar in such a way that he showed them, like, this is who you could be. Like, he gave them Musar, this is who you could be. Not, how could you possibly do such a thing? But this is not a behavior that's, you know, that's because, it's not for you. One time they say that a Bachar in Shor Yashuv, I saw in the Sefer, the Bachar in Shor Yashuv did something that was like a ferlach, and he needed to be thrown out of yeshiva. But the Bachar came into his office ready to fight. He came in ready to fight. I think it's one of my favorite ma'asim in the entire book. And the guy, he walked in, you know, very brazen, very brash into the office. And when he walked out, he was mamish broken. Everyone saw he was like crying, he was broken. They say, so the guys went over to him, what happened? He said, he broke me with his humility. He said, I'm sorry I couldn't show you that you're bigger. And like, when a bachur even needed to be thrown out, the way that he did it was through humility and showing him, you're not a shuffle, you're not a low person. But people live with this, it's a whole door. That's why one of my favorite parts of going to hear of Moshe Weinberger was I always walked out feeling better about myself. There's certain Bali Musar, sometimes you want to hear a Bali Musar that gives you a good frask that says to you, like, come on, enough. But always when I walked out of the rabbi, he always, somehow, even if I knew I needed to do better, but I always felt a little bit better about myself too. Like, I'm really shaykh to do much better than I'm doing. It's a very beautiful thing. I love that lashon, lehishtacher, to be unshackled, to be free. A person is mamish weighed down by their offerness, by their gufnias. And it's mamish, it's shalit in their life. It's there, the guf is in total control. And they're not able to unshackle themselves from this. Nimtza b'matzav shel shiflus. So it comes out that they feel low. I'm not a bailim in my own life. Ofrius, achumrius, gasa, akin layech, batza adam b'tareach, balacha, umisharoitzel azakos, tzarch shiyas gaber atzma, negativa viyas gaber atzma, viyas daris, she'imu meiniach atzma, biad kfeduso, vada hu shalo yatzliach. Those are the words of Mesilas Yesharim, that the chumrius is so thick, and a person having so much trouble doing what they need to do. So you need to be misgaber, mamish, to go against your very nature. Your nature is to be that lazy, I can't move, I can't create motion. But if you know, if you leave it, you're never going to be successful. You mamish have to change your teva. B'roseinu adam ha-matzoi, b'chaveres ketanem imenu, misnag b'pashtos, lo'nuchol yos betuchim, So it comes out, the guy could be a tremendous genius, but there is no self. The self is trapped. The self is absolutely trapped. The nekudas habechira, that's totally tied up in your guf. So that's what offer means. And so and again, so many people they just look at themselves as like I'm a nothing, because obviously I'm doing nothing. It's not the pshat they're doing nothing. Your challenge is offer. Your challenge is offer. Your challenge is, this is what it means. You can't create zrizus in your life because your challenge is offer. So adurabba, instead of beating yourself up about your chumrius, understand, this is your thing. This is what the Rebbeinu Shlom gave you to work on. This is what it means to embrace your challenge. Other Rebbe, you don't have to become something that you're not. Embrace who you are. Now it's understandable. My wife always says this, the word normal is a judgmental word. Somebody says to you, that's pretty normal. What do you feel? I mean, on the one hand, I guess you feel good because it's normal. On the other hand, you're being evaluated. When a person says that's understandable, right, what are they doing? That's an empathetic word. It's a connective word. And the truth of the matter is, that's all we really want. We want to know, is our activity psychotic or is it understandable? If it's understandable, okay, I can work on myself. If I'm psychotic, I need help. Yeah, but if it's understandable, so besides that, that's called personal growth. So if a person, this is a very empathic way of understanding. If instead of looking at yourself and saying, I'm lazy, you're able to look at yourself and say, I'm lazy. Not I'm lazy. I'm lazy. This is my thing. I'm an offerdika person. Okay? Now I have makom to work. It's understandable. This is my teva. I need to work on it. That's a big musar. We'll stop here.